happy and we very fortunate that His Grace Vijay Prabhu, who is a minister for book distribution in ISKCON, and generally I see since the time I have been in ISKCON, I have been meeting him, and he looks as ever fresh, ever young, and traveling practically all over to make, you know, just to get the pulse of how things are going on, and encouraging and inspiring by his words and by his own example in Srila Prabhupada's books, in how to understand it, imbibe it, and actually preach it. So very, very fortunate that he has come to our temple. We would like to welcome him to Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir.
Vivo!
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 Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19. King Yayati achieves liberation. Text number 12. Right? Yeah. Tataham. Tataham Kripana Subru. Bhavadhyā prema yantritaḥ ātmānam nabhihānāmi mohitastava māyayā. Station and purport by His Divine Grace Śrīla Prabhupāda. O my dear wife with beautiful eyebrows, I am exactly like that he-goat, for I am so poor in intelligence that I am captivated by your beauty and have forgotten the real task of self-realization. Please repeat. O my dear wife, with beautiful eyebrows, I am exactly like that he-goat, for I am so poor in intelligence that I am captivated by your beauty, and have forgotten the real task of self-realization. Purport. If one remains a victim of the so-called beauty of his wife, his family, life is nothing but a dark well. Hitvatma patam griham andakupam. Existence in such a dark well is certainly suicidal. If one wants relief from the miserable condition of material life, one must voluntarily give up his lusty relationship with his wife. Otherwise, there is no question of self-realization. Unless one is extremely advanced in spiritual consciousness, household life is nothing but a dark well in which one commits suicide. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommends that in due time, at least after one's 50th year, one must give up household life and go to the forest. Vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. There, one should seek shelter at the lotus feet of Hari. First, I'd like to say that it's nice to be back at the Radha Gopinath Mandir. As Radha Gopinath Prabhu was saying, I do a lot of traveling, and this is definitely my favorite stop off. Very nice Vaishnavas here, nice deity worship and book distribution, and everything is going on so nicely. I think it's been a couple years since I've been here, and only about 5 or 10% of the people that were here are here now. I heard they're branching out now, isn't it? There's so many branches of Radha Gopinath Mandir. So it's very ecstatic to see such nice expansion. Prabhupada would be very pleased, I'm sure. So this is a pretty interesting verse here. It's an what we call an eyebrow raiser. So here, King Yayati is expressing his bewilderment. And Chanaka Pandit, he says that even within family life, one can have enemies. He says four specifically. He says that the wife is an enemy if she's very beautiful. Why is that? Because the man becomes bewildered, as we're seeing here. King Yayati, he became bewildered. And of course, Maya is mostly manifest through the form of a woman. This is in the one purport, Prabhupada says, the personification of Maya, of illusion, is the form of a woman. Women shouldn't be discouraged because you're not your body, you're all spirit soul. So this is actually, we're all spirit soul, we're all spirit souls, but this is how Maya works. There's one joke actually. One man asked God, "God, why have you made the women so beautiful?" And God said, "So that you'll love them." And then he said, "But why do you make them so stupid?" And God said, "So that they'll love you." So it knocks them in also, you know. So, yeah, the material world, it's a very bewildering place. And to become free of this illusory energy is very difficult. And Prabhupada said, for man, woman is Maya. For woman, man is Maya. So somehow we have to cross over this attraction. So I mentioned how there was different enemies in the family. So the wife, if she's very beautiful, is an enemy to the man because he becomes bewildered and it's difficult for him to think of Krishna. You know, as we're seeing here, he says, I've lost my self-realization. You're so attractive. Your eyes are so beautiful. I've lost, you know, it's difficult for me to think of Krishna. So another enemy is the father. If the father leaves his body, leaves this world in debt, he's an enemy to the son. Because as we all know, if the father passed away, then the son, he inherits the wealth of the father. That's nice. But if he's in debt, then he also inherits the debt of his father. I don't think it's like that in other countries, but is it still like that in India? Is that a legal thing? It's not a legal thing anymore, but it used to be a legal thing in India. So that was abolished. But and then the son, he's an enemy if he's a fool. If he's a fool, he's not interested in spiritual life. He's an enemy. And the wife, she's an enemy if she remarries. Gets married, divorces, remarries. She's an enemy. So these are different enemies within the family. So this material world, it's a very awkward place. Prabhupada, he was married. And he mentioned, I was just listening to a lecture recently, he said, "I didn't like my wife very much. She wasn't very beautiful." And then he decided, I'm going to get married again. This is back in the, you know, when there was, you could have more than one wife. Two or three, you can even have three back then, back in the Anybody know? I mean, I know you could have two. I don't know how many, but anyway, he wanted to remarry or get married, have another wife. So then his father found out that he was looking for another wife. And Prabhupada's father, of course, he's a pure devotee. Very fortunate. So Prabhupada's father said, I advise that you not do this. That you don't like your wife is a very great fortune to you. That's very good. And Prabhupada couldn't understand it at the time. But he accepted the word of his... He didn't remarry. But then afterwards, when he took sannyas, then he understood, yes, if she would have been a beautiful wife and I had liked her, then it would have been difficult to take sannyas. But he was able to take sannyas, and now we have this big ISKCON family. One of the reasons might have been because he didn't have a beautiful wife that he liked. Of course, Prabhupada's a pure devotee, so in any case, he would have done what he did. But this is some of his pastime. So in the purport here, Prabhupada mentions this verse, Tatsaramanye Suravarya Dehinam Hidvatma Patam Griham Andakupam. That when Hiranyakasipu, he inquired from his son, Prahlad Maharaj, after he had been in school. He asked him, so, my dear son, what is the best thing that you've learned in school? Prahlad Maharaj replied that the best thing I've heard, that I've learned, is actually not in school, but from my spiritual master. And my spiritual master said that anybody who has accepted a material body is embarrassed by many, many reversals that unavoidably take place in the material world. And because of having this material body, everything in relation to this body they think is theirs. It's mine. House, wife, children, money, all these things, this is all mine. And therefore, anybody that is in such a situation is andakupam, griham andakupam, in a blind well. If you're wanting to go somewhere, and there's a big field in between the place where you want to go to, big, big field, and you hear that that within this field there's a well, but you can't see the well because it's covered with grass. It's camouflaged, so you can't see the well, but it's very deep. And if you fall in, yeah, good luck. So would anybody go into such a well? Or go into such a field where you hear that there's a well that you could fall in? You would just completely avoid the whole field and you go somewhere else, right? Because nobody wants to go into a well. So if at all possible, Prabhupada used to encourage his disciples, stay brahmachari. Stay brahmachari. It's much more conducive for your spiritual life. And Prabhupada, one time he said, we only have one flaw in our philosophy. Anybody know what it is? The one flaw in our philosophy is that all the women should get married and all the men should stay brahmachari. What to do? Huh? Expert management. So. Yeah, it's not an easy thing. But Prabhupada also said that if there's Grihastha family, And the man and woman, they have sex only to beget a Krishna conscious child. They are also brahmacharis. They are also brahmacharis. So, it's simply a matter of consciousness. What was that? I think it was Sivananda Sen, when he told Lord Chaitanya that his wife was pregnant. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He was joyful. And he named the child also. Wasn't that Sivananda Sen? Yeah. Puridas? Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya was so happy because he knew this is a Krishna conscious grihastha couple. But then there was a brahmachari that kind of looked lustfully at a woman, Junior Haridas, and he rejected him from his association. Here's a brahmachari, rejected him. He never was in the association with Lord Chaitanya again. So this is a brahmachari that's acting improperly, and you see the result. And here's a grihastha acting properly, you see the result. Yeah. So it's a matter of consciousness. We have to somehow raise our consciousness to a level which is pleasing to Krishna. Back in the 1930s, there was one grihastha that asked Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, you know, the brahmacharis are here in the temple and they're practicing very seriously, but we're not seeing the result of bhakti coming from such sadhana. And he was a sincere inquirer, so he asked his guru, why is this? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, it's because they're eating, or it's because they have intestinal worms. If you have worms in your intestines and you eat, then you can't digest because the worms are eating everything. You know, you can't get the nutrients. So he said the problem is they have two worms. One is they're selfish, and the other is that they have secret bad habits. And these worms are eating up the process of bhakti which they're practicing, and therefore they're not getting the result. Interesting statement. Huh? Secret bad habits. And this is back in the 30s, and there was no computers around. I don't even think they had cinemas back then. Anybody know back in the 30s, maybe? No? Although there is one pastime of Prabhupada. He was in Calcutta, and one friend of his was driving by, and he says, hey, my family and myself are going to the cinema. Come with us. And Prabhupada said, no. No, but come on, let's go. So they were friendly, so he kind of dragged him into the car and put him in the car and took him to the cinema. And then when they got to the cinema, Prabhupada told his friend, even if you pay me $1,000, I'm not going in there with you. And Prabhupada walked away. So there was, maybe that was the 40s or something, I don't know. But this is an interesting statement, that secret bad habits, you know, there's so much more opportunity now to have these secret bad habits. So we have to be very careful. We have to practice this Krishna consciousness very seriously, because there's no secrets. Yeah. Krishna knows everything. Yeah. You may be behind the door, just you in your room, and think you're doing some secret thing, but Krishna knows. He knows everything. Yeah. Vedaham samatityani vartamanani charjama vishyami chabutani mamtivedana kashtana. Krishna says that I know everything that's happened in the past. I know everything that's happening now. I know everything that's going to happen in the future. That's God. But me, nobody knows. Nobody knows me. I was distributing books one time, and I approached one man. And I said, so what kind of work do you do? He said, well, I'm God. It's a big position. And I said, well, one of the characteristics of God is that he knows everything. Can you tell me what I'm thinking? He said, yes, you think that I am a rascal. I said, you're pretty good. That's right. But I was also thinking of a number. Can you tell me that? He said, no. So there's a lot of cheaters. Yeah, people claiming to be. Even when Krishna was here, Poundraka, I don't know how he did it, but he had some extra arms. He kind of pasted them on, or I don't know how they would do that. Different symbols of Vishnu and the whole thing, you know, challenged Krishna. So even when Krishna was here, and therefore when Lord Chaitanya came, because he knows this is Kali Yuga, if anybody said that he was Krishna, he would cover his ears, and he would shout, Vishnu, 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 and he would run away. Because Kali Yuga is very degraded. Prabhupada used to say that so many countries, they're doing export business. In India also, we're doing export. Every couple months, another god is being exported from India to try to benefit, so-called benefit the world. So cheaters. It's very easy. People are foolish in the age of Kali, so they... Now there's one god now that's in the hospital, right? Why should God go to the hospital? I mean, sly Baba, yeah? So anyway, there's so many people that are cheating and being cheated. Anyway, we hope he gets healthy again, but hopefully he gives up his foolishness. Mainly, that's the main disease, the idea that he's God. This is the major disease. And this is the disease of everyone, false ego. Yeah. We're trying to get free of this idea that we are the enjoyers, we are the controllers, we are the proprietors. And Krishna is actually the enjoyer of all activities. Bhoktaram yagatapasang. Sarvaloka Maheshram Suradanga Sarvabhutam Gyatvam Shantimrichati. That if we are able to understand this, that Krishna, he's the enjoyer of all sacrifices. He's the proprietor of everything. As soon as we even think that one piece of paper is ours, then we're fallen. Nothing is ours. We come in this world with nothing but our desires. And we leave this world with nothing but our desires. Yeah. So everything belongs to Krishna. So the perfection of our life is we leave this world with one desire, to please Krishna. So that's what this process is about, is renovating, purifying our heart. Of course, we can't do it on our own. We need the mercy, the causeless mercy of Krishna. You know, this word causeless is very interesting. Because we all know sarva karana karanam. Krishna, he's the cause of all causes. But why do we see this word causeless so many times in Prabhupada's books? I looked in the folio 2,700 times. You find this word causeless. But Krishna is the cause of all causes. Why is this word there? Causeless. So I couldn't figure it out. I read Prabhupada's books a lot. But it was beyond me. So I was asking many senior devotees about this. But I couldn't get a satisfactory reply. Until I met one devotee. You all probably know him, Dravida Das, who was one of our main editors of Srila Prabhupada's books. He said, Nayam Atma Pravichyena Labhyo Nameda Se Nabahuna Shutena. He quoted this verse. Actually, this verse is found in two of the Puranas. That Krishna cannot be attained by expert explanations, nor by vast intelligence, nor by mental speculation, but he can be attained only by that person whom he chooses. And this verse even says he cannot be attained even by one who hears much, who hears regularly, but only that person whom he chooses. So we know in the, I think it's in the Dhammadrashtaka, that Krishna, he's conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. So this is what conquers Krishna more than anything else, is this love. So one may say, well, then this is the cause, love. But not always. Putana didn't approach Krishna with love. Right? She approached Krishna to kill him with the poison on her breast. But Krishna, he is so kind that he took that as though she was a mother. And now, to this day, she's a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan. So this is the causeless mercy of Krishna. But we know from reading Bhagavad Gita, Tesam Saraktyutanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Penyamapyatate, that to those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So in general, this is what happens. But of course, Krishna, he is also Svarat. This is the first verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's Svarat. He is completely independent. He doesn't have to do anything. Even you could show so much devotion, hearing and chanting, coming to Mangal Arati, you know, doing everything nicely. Still, he's not bound. But in general, those persons who devote themselves to him, he gives himself. And to encourage us in this direction, he says, Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mamapashita bhavo jnana tapasa putumad bhava magata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge of me, and thus they have attained me. So he's encouraging us. He says, many, many, many persons in the past have become purified by this knowledge. And this is actually what's necessary. We need to get purified. One time Prabhupada, he was giving class to his disciples, and he said, my disciples' hearts are like coal. You know, coal that you make fire with? Now, coal is black. From the exterior right to the center, it's just black. Right? He said, this is my disciples' hearts. Not very encouraging, right? So there's a lot of dirt. We can't cleanse our heart. We can cleanse our car. We could cleanse our homes. We could cleanse so many things. We could clean our clothes. We could clean your children's bodies. But the heart? You can't clean the heart. We have to go to Krishna. Krishna, please, please cleanse my heart. I can't do it. It's too dirty. And you are the purest of the pure. So only you, with your causeless mercy, can cleanse this heart. And Krishna, he says in the Uddhava Gita, he explains how a devotee should pray to him in the form of the deity. So here's the deity, Krishna, telling Uddhava how to pray to him in the form of the deity. Very interesting. prapanam payamami sha bitam ritru gaharnavat. This is how we should pray to Krishna. Please, my dear Lord Krishna, protect me who I'm trying to surrender unto you. I'm very fearful of this material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death. This is how we should pray. Please protect me. Already we have dirt, so we should pray, Krishna, please remove whatever contamination is there, and please protect me from more contamination. We should be very fearful of this material existence. This is Maya's kingdom. This is Bombay. This is the headquarters of Maya in India. Maya is very much prominent in Bombay and becoming more and more prominent. So you should all visit the temple more. This will protect you. You know, see Sri Radha Gopinath. Because we're going to leave this body. We don't know when. Parikshit Maharaj, he heard that he was going to die in 7 days. So we're on the 9th canto now, so this might be about maybe 4th day. Maybe between 3 and 4, 10th canto is big. Maybe around there. Ending the 3rd day maybe, starting the 4th day. But when he heard he was going to die, all right. I have to hear. What is the goal of life? Why am I here? Very intelligent. Heard for 7 days continuously. Didn't sleep or eat or just heard. Didn't drink, just heard. And all the sages there. Now, I don't know about here, but in America, if someone hears that they're going to die, you're going to die in 5 days, what do they do? Disney World, Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, Las Vegas, you know, enjoy just, you know, all you can, you know. Get all the nice food that you can get in prison also. Someone's on their deathbed, they're going to die. And the guards say, all right, what's your best meal? This is your last meal, take it. You better be a good one, you know, because it's your last meal. So they give them their favorite meal. So people don't know. Natevatu svartha katingi vishnu drasya ye bahiartha manina. People don't know what is their real interest. The real interest of the living entity is to serve Krishna. This is our ultimate interest. This will take us out of this well of material existence. People don't know. But what do they think is good for them? They think sense gratification. That's good. If I have sense gratification, then I'm okay. But no, that's blind. That means one is blind. So the people are blind, the leaders are blind, then what do you have? We have the society we have now. People are bewildered by the material nature. I'll give you an interesting example in this regard, since this Prabhupada mentions a well here. Imagine a man is walking in a field, and he falls into a well. When he falls in, he catches on to something. And it turns out it's a root. From one side of the well to the other, there's a root, a big root. So he grabs onto it, and he's hanging there. And he's thinking, whew, good thing this root is here. I'd have gone all the way down. So he's hanging there for a while. Then he looks down, and there's a big black snake on the bottom. And then he's thinking, whew, wow, really good thing I'm not down there. So then, a couple of minutes later, he hears a roar from above. It's a lion, big lion, roaring down at him. And he's thinking, oh my God, good thing I'm not up there too. So then he's thinking, my God, this is very awkward. How is this happening? What is this? And then a couple of minutes later, he hears some chewing, and there's a rat chewing on one of the roots that he's hanging on. A black rat. And he's thinking, oh my God, you know, what's going on here? And then he looks over the other side, there's a white rat chewing on the other side. And he's like, this can't be. Am I dreaming? What is this? What am I going to do? And then he feels a drop on his head. And then he feels another drop. Every 5 seconds, he feels a drop on his head. And he looks up, and there's a honeycomb hanging from a tree. And these drops are coming from the honeycomb. So he tilts his head back, and he gets the honey. Yeah. And then he thinks, life isn't so bad after all. So this is material life, right? So the black rat is compared to night. The white rat is compared to day. The big black snake on the bottom, that's death. The lion, you know, who rides on the lion? Durga, yes, and she has a spear, right? 3 points. Misery is coming from our own body and mind. Misery is coming from other living entities. Misery is coming from nature. So this is the situation. And with all that mishap that the living entity has found him in, he gets a drop of honey, gets a little sense gratification. He thinks, oh, it's okay. This is Maya. Yeah. Everybody wants unlimited happiness. That's going to increase unlimitedly. This is what we all want. But in this world, you get a little bit of pleasure. And you work hard to get it. Right? We work so hard to get that little bit of pleasure. And even that pleasure, Prabhupada says in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, he says the so-called pleasure that the living entity experiences in the material world is the ultimate enemy of the living entity. The so-called pleasure that one experiences here is the ultimate enemy. Why? Because that keeps one bound to the material world. You think that that's pleasure, and therefore you're trying so hard to get it. But it's not pleasure. Real pleasure is devotional service. This is illusory. This is Maya Sukhaya. It's illusory pleasure. Just like Prabhupada, you know, he wrote this one book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. So he, actually that was the first book that Prabhupada had printed and was distributing there in New Delhi, a small book. No, actually he had the 3 volumes also, so he was doing all those. So he printed this book, he was distributing it, Easy Journey to Other Planets. So he distributed one to a gentleman, and he saw this gentleman 2 months later. And the man said, you know, I was reading in your book that if one takes seriously to devotional service, one can go back to the spiritual world and not come back to this material world again. He asked Prabhupada, is that correct? Prabhupada said, yes, yes, that's correct. No, I'm not interested. This is Maya, you see? You can go back to the spiritual world. There's no death, no old age, no disease, no anxiety. Vaikuntha, Krishna's there, so beautiful, complete harmony. But no, I want to stay here. Death, old age, disease, working so hard, struggling. Yeah. The most attractive feature of the spiritual world is Krishna. He's very attractive. Here it's mentioned that he mentions the beautiful eyebrows of his wife, how attractive she is. But Krishna is the most attractive. It's described that 8 parts of Krishna's body resemble a lotus flower. It's like we have these beautiful lotus flowers. I asked one devotee, are those real? So beautiful. Lotus flowers, pink lotus flowers, so beautiful. Huh? I heard every day the deities get these lotus flowers. Huh? So nice. So 8 parts of Krishna's body resemble the lotus flower. Let's see if you get them. Who knows? Eyes. 2 lotus eyes. Huh? Lotus face. I heard face. Hands? Navel, that's it. All right, hands, feet. Yeah. Feet, hands, lotus eyes, navel, face. Those are these eight resemble a lotus flower. Very beautiful. Can't imagine how beautiful Krishna is. So attractive. So attractive. It's described in the Nectar Devotion that generally a person puts on jewelry to make their body look more attractive. But when jewelry goes on Krishna, then Krishna makes the jewelry look more attractive. Because what's more attractive than Krishna? He's so beautiful. Can't imagine. The gopis, they thought that Lord Brahma, he's incompetent. Because he created these bodies with eyelids, and they couldn't see Krishna for a moment. Couldn't see him for that. When they blinked their eyes, they couldn't see Krishna for that moment. During this class, we're all blinking our eyes probably hundreds of times. We don't even notice. Right? But they noticed that just fraction of a second, they couldn't see Krishna. They thought, this Lord Brahma is incompetent, fool, dunce. So much beautiful. We can't imagine how attractive Krishna is. So he's so beautiful. Then I mentioned there's eight parts of Krishna's body which resemble the lotus. There's 23 and a half parts of Krishna's body that resemble the moon. Let's see how you do with that. 23 and a half. Toenails, there's 10. Very good. Fingernails, hey, he's the winner. He got 20 right there. Toenails, fingernails, that's 20. Face, that's another one. See, the face is very beautiful. It resembles a lotus flower and a moon. So there's 2.5 more. Forehead. Hey, he's on the ball. That's the half. Remember, there's 23 and a half? The forehead is the half. Right? Now there's two more.
One eye.
No. He says one eye. That was a good one. No. Anybody know? No. The navel again. Krishna's navel is very attractive. See, it resembles the moon and also the lotus flower. Very attractive navel. And sandalwood on his head resembles moon. That's 23 and a half. So very, very, very attractive. Therefore, his name is Krishna. Inconceivably beautiful. And the closer we get to Krishna, the more we become beautiful as well. Just like in when Prabhupada went to New York City in 1965, there was an unwritten rule amongst the youth: don't trust anyone over 35. Because those are the old guys. They're just not with it. You know, it's the old generation. You know, they're just completely out of it. So Prabhupada shows up, is twice that age, and they're giving their life to him. Why? Because Prabhupada was so beautiful. Because he had Krishna. So many pictures. Tens of thousands of pictures of Prabhupada. Why? Because he's beautiful. Why? See, beautiful. Because he's completely connected to Krishna. Completely absorbed in serving Krishna. So this is the perfection of life. To somehow give up our selfish desires and become selfless. In the spiritual world, this is the consciousness. Everybody is selfless. And the epitome of selflessness is Srimati Radharani. Her only thought is how to please Krishna. And this is selflessness. We become selfless, or we become selfish, because we think that we're the body. To the degree that we become free of this bodily conception of life, to that degree, we become selfless. And then we become happier. We all want to be happy, so this is the key to happiness. Don't try for your own happiness. That's the beginning of your happiness. Don't try to be happy. Try to please Krishna. Atashri Krishna Namadi, Namaved Graimandriya, Sevan Mukhi Jivada, Svayameva Spratida. That Sri Krishna, he cannot be understood with one's blunt material senses. But when Krishna becomes pleased with one's devotional service, then he reveals himself. So this goes on with that causeless mercy, that we can't understand Krishna with our blunt material senses. It's impossible. But when we engage in devotional service, then he reveals himself. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhakti yadhoksaje ahaiti kaparitiyata yatma supersiditi. The supreme occupational duty for all living entities is that by which one can engage in loving devotional service to Krishna. And what is the standard of that devotion? Uninterrupted and unmotivated. Very high standard Krishna's looking for. So one might say, well, we're speaking about this illusory energy here, how the living entity is bewildered by Maya. But Maya is a pure devotee. She's there. She's engaged in devotional service. She's a pure devotee. Why is he throwing so many obstacles before me? Why is this? Why is a pure devotee making it so difficult for me to advance in Krishna consciousness? She should be helping me. Why is he throwing so many obstacles in my path? It's just like in school. We were all in grade school. And the teacher was always making the test harder. And the kids might think, why is she doing this to me? I mean, I thought we had a good relationship. She's always making them harder. It's just taxing my brain. Making it so difficult for my life. Homework and studies. And not only that, each year it gets harder and harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. It gets harder. Why are the teachers doing this to me? So they're thinking of the benefit. There's no enmity there. The teachers are simply thinking of the benefit of the student, how to help them learn more and more and more. So Maya is a teacher. She's the ultimate professor. And she is teaching us how to become attached to Krishna, how to advance in Krishna consciousness. She'll put many tests. And if we're strong, then we'll pass. Just like the student, if the student studies the subject, then no problem, just keeps going. But if at one point the student stops studying, then at that point, education stops. Right? So this life is a life of education. We're trying to learn the absolute truth. We're trying to learn about Krishna, learn about who we are, how to engage in devotional service. So this entire lifetime is an educational experience. Yeah. We're in school throughout this life. And so many tests will be put before us. And the way that we pass these tests is we have to be very, very, very sincere in our sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We have to do all this very nicely. Prabhupada says in one purport that if one hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, with rapt attention, one can see Krishna on every page of the Bhagavatam. You can see Krishna. But to hear with rapt attention, one has to be pure in mind. But to be pure in mind, one has to be pure in action. And to be pure in action, one has to be pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It's interesting that this is how to here nicely. We have to be pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's what it's dependent on. So when we eat, we don't just chow down. We don't just eat. We don't just stuff ourselves. It's a seva. It's actually honoring prasadam. Just like we come and we worship the deity, this is seva. So prasad is also seva. We're honoring prasadam. It's devotional service. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he, 99% of the time, he would only eat alone. Nobody would be in the room with him. He would eat alone. Because it was seva. He was relishing prasadam. It was service. So eating, sleeping. Prabhupada, before he would go to sleep at night, he would tell his servant, "Now I'm going to waste time." How many of us think like that before we go to sleep, huh? We think, "Oh, good, now I can forget all my worries and just go into snooze land." Yeah. Prabhupada said 6 or 7 hours. If we get more than that, then we... One time he said 8, you know, maybe for someone that's just really... But mostly he would say 6 or 7. Because we don't need to sleep so much. He said you can actually train yourself to sleep less. He mentioned even Napoleon. Napoleon, I think, he was only sleeping 2 or 2.5 hours a day. Wasn't it? I think Napoleon. And Prabhupada, he was only sleeping 3 or 3.5 hours a day. So, I mean, if you think about it, if we're sleeping 6 hours a day, that's, you know, and you live 80 years, that's 20 years of your life sleeping. It's a lot of sleep. Yeah. 20 years of sleeping. Yeah. And that's if you just sleep 6 hours. If you sleep more, then you know, add some more years on there. Yeah. So sleeping means ignorance. Try to sleep as little as possible and serve as much as possible. So eating, sleeping, mating. Mating is for raising Krishna conscious children. Otherwise, there's no. Only in grihastha life is there mating. Otherwise, there's no mating. And defense. In the Uddhava Gita, Krishna explains to Uddhava that the highest security is simply to be aware that one is the soul within the body. If you just have that awareness, then you have all security, all insurance covered. Insurance is one of the biggest businesses in the world, multi-billion industry. So much anxiety about their properties and their body and this and that, you know, the cars and, you know, this, you know, this. But the highest security is simply to be aware that we are the soul within. Because what can harm the soul? Nainam chindanti sistrani, nainam dehati pavaka, na chainam kladyan chapo, na shotati marutaha. Can't be burned, can't be by fire, it can't be destroyed by a whip, and you can't drown the soul. Nothing can harm the soul. So, maybe I'll stop there. Any question or comment? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.